Good morning. Happy Easter Sunday. Today we join with millions of Christians all around the world in celebrating the most important event in all of human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and our soon coming King. I am so sorry that we cannot gather together today here in our sanctuary on this joyous occasion. However, we are thankful that through this video, we can hear God's word together and rejoice together in the gift of eternal life that God has given to us, all of us who have trusted in his Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have today to celebrate the gift of salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ, your Son. Father God, I pray that you will bless us as we hear your word. Help me, Father God, to preach your word. And Father God, give us ears to hear what you have to say to us today. And we'll give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you well know, we cannot gather together today due to the global plague known as the coronavirus or COVID-19. It is a worldwide pandemic that has afflicted over 1.5 million people and has claimed over 100,000 lives. We pray for all of those afflicted. And we pray for an effective cure that would bring an end to this plague. Today, I want us to focus our attention on a cure given to us by God for a far more serious plague. A plague that has afflicted all of mankind. The terrible plague of sin. The cure for that plague has been provided for us through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, becoming a man, living a sinless life, voluntarily dying upon a cross in our place, spending 3 days in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day, rising from the dead. Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. I want us today to come to realize our need to be healed from the plague of sin by trusting in the cure for sin and by looking at the proof that this cure is effective. Sin is the scourge of mankind. It is a curse. It is a terminal spiritual curse. Plague that infects every single human being and is passed on from generation to generation. All mankind are infected by this spiritual disease, and yet most do not realize that they are. They ignore the symptoms, and therefore they do not seek after the cure. Worst of all, it is a plague that separates us from having a loving relationship with God. It requires us to shelter in place apart from God, both in this life and in the life to come. The plague of sin. Where did this plague come from? And how were we afflicted with it? The plague of sin entered this world through one man, Adam, and then was passed on by him to every other person who has ever lived on the face of the earth, with one notable exception, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen to what Paul tells us about this plague of sin in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. God created Adam and Eve and placed them in a garden paradise where they were to worship and serve God, their creator. But they rebelled against God and chose to go their own way. And the result was that sin came into the world. Never underestimate the impact of the fall. And along with sin entered death, both physical death and spiritual death. God tells us here that the plague of sin resulting in death spread to all men. Just like a virus spreads through contact, the virus of sin has been passed on from one generation to the next. We are born sinners, and the evidence is seen in our sin. We sin because we are sinners. And God's word tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the perfection of God. God is holy. God is righteous. And God will have nothing to do with sin. Sin cannot enter into his presence. Scripture also tells us that the wages of sin, the penalty for sin, is death. This is why all die, because all have sinned. The mortality rate for the plague of sin is 100%. This is the evidence that God has given to us to show us the serious threat of the consequences of sin. Not only physical death, but far greater, spiritual death, which would result in our eternal quarantine in hell, away from the presence of God. That is what awaits any of us who do not receive the cure for sin that has been provided to us by our loving and gracious triune God, provided for us by God the Father, through Jesus the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. The cure for sin was provided for us by God Himself. God the Father sent God the Son into this world to provide a cure from the plague of sin for everyone who receives it. Listen to what John writes in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, and verse 14. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. I want you to note this truth. As sinners, we do not deserve the grace of God. What we deserve is the wrath of God as a penalty for our sin. The penalty for sin is death, both physical death and spiritual death. But God so loved that He sent His own Son into the world to die in our place, to provide an antidote, a cure for the curse of sin. The Father sent His Son to be the Savior, and the Son came willingly to die in our place so that we would be set free from the eternal consequences of our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 puts it this way: God made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. God made Him who knew no sin. That describes only one person, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the only one who has lived on planet Earth without sin. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, took upon Himself humanity. He was born in the flesh so that He, after living that perfect life without sin, could take our sin upon Himself and pay the penalty for our sin, freeing us from the penalty of spiritual death, freeing us from the wrath of God that was due to us for our sins. He took that wrath upon Himself. Praise be to God. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, explains it to us this way: God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. Christ willingly went to the cross to die for us, to take God's wrath upon Himself, to free us from the penalty of our sin. He Himself became the cure for the plague of sin that had infected every one of us. And in so doing, Jesus triumphed over sin upon the cross, and He became for us a double cure, a cure for sin and also a cure for spiritual death. But you might ask, how do we know this is true? I'm glad you asked that question. How can we know for sure that Jesus has conquered sin and death? Well, the simple answer to that question is His resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. That is why the Apostle Paul describes this fact as being of first importance. So I'd like you to open your Bibles up to our text for today. Oh, you didn't think I'd let you go without having a text. We're going to be looking at what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to begin by reading verses 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul writes these words: "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." The Apostle Paul says this is of first importance because in the resurrection of Jesus, we see the proof of the cure. The proof of the cure is the resurrection of Jesus. On the third day, He rose from the dead, giving us absolute proof that He had conquered sin and death upon the cross. Not only was he raised from the dead, he was raised from the dead in a glorified human body. And then he appeared to his disciples and to his followers numerous times over a period of 40 days before he visibly ascended back into heaven to take his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. The resurrection of Jesus is one of the most attested to events in all of human history. And it is the proof that a cure has been provided for us by God. Paul goes on to describe some of the eyewitness accounts to the resurrection of Jesus. Let me read verses 5 through 8 to you. And then he appeared to Cephas, that is Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Paul lets us know that there were over 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. He only gives us a small sampling of these witnesses. He doesn't even mention Jesus' appearances to Mary, to the other women, or to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. But what Paul does include is sufficient to establish that over 500 people saw Jesus in his resurrected, glorified human body. This is presented to us by the Apostle Paul as incontrovertible evidence that God had accepted his Son's sacrifice for our sin, and that Jesus had defeated death as a result. The writer to the Hebrews says, death could not hold him. Look down with me at verses 20 through 23. Paul goes on to say this: in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Paul once again states the fact that we celebrate today that Christ has been raised from the dead. And then he goes on to explain to us what this means. For as by a man, that is Adam, came death through sin, by a man, Jesus, has come the resurrection of the dead. Through his atoning sacrifice, death is defeated and eternal life is provided for all who believe. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. All who are descendants of Adam are afflicted by the terrible plague of sin, and therefore all die. But those who trust in Christ for their salvation are made spiritually alive in Christ, and are therefore granted eternal life in Christ. Praise be to God. Just as Christ has risen from the dead, so too we are spiritually raised from the dead in Christ, and we also will live eternally with Christ in the presence of God. I was once dead spiritually, dead in my trespasses and sins. But God, through Jesus Christ, has made me alive together with Christ. That is why Christians around the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. His resurrection is the proof that a cure has been found, has been provided for the plague of sin, and it is available to everyone who put their faith and trust in Christ. When we do, we are spiritually born again. We are freed from slavery to sin, and we now live in newness of life. We now live in a loving relationship with our Savior and with our Heavenly Father, who sent Him to be our cure. A cure that sets us free from the penalty of our sin and sets us free from eternal spiritual death, eternal separation from God. That's what we deserve. But by the grace of God, through Jesus Christ, through trusting in Him, we don't have to receive that. Let me close our time together today with one last passage of Scripture. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 through 9. Verses 3 through 9. Peter is the disciple who, on that Good Friday early in the morning, almost 2,000 years ago, denied that he even knew Christ 3 times. And that is one of the reasons I believe that after his resurrection, Jesus appeared personally to Peter, as we just read. And Jesus assured Peter of the eternal life that was his in Christ, that his sins were forgiven, and he restored him into a right relationship with God. And Peter went on years later to write this letter. And listen to what Peter says in response to the salvation that he has been provided. He writes these words: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We are very blessed by these words, by these truths. Peter begins by praising the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sent his Son to become the cure for our sin by taking our sin upon himself and paying the penalty for our sin, setting us free from that penalty. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We don't hope in a Savior who is dead and buried. Our hope is in a Savior who rose from the dead and is alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. There is a treasure that awaits each and every one of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. And that treasure is reserved for us in heaven. Nothing can take that away from us. We who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We await the coming again of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who will come in victory. We look forward to that day, and in that we rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Peter is not denying the fact that in this world we shall have tribulations. In this world we will have trials. We will have troubles. But that does not take away from the fact that for all eternity we will be with Him. We can endure these trials, which last for just a little while, because they do not compare to the glories that await us. He goes on to say that our faith is more precious than gold that perishes, and our faith will be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed to us. One way or the other, we who have trusted in Christ for our salvation, we who have been born again, we shall see Him face to face. Either when we die and we go to be with Him, or when He returns in His glory and we see Him again. And then He gives us these precious words, which we know are true. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. We cannot yet see Him with these physical eyes, but we do see Him through the eyes of faith. And yes, we love Him because He first loved us. And though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Those who do not know Christ, they don't understand us. They don't understand how we can have joy in the midst of trials, how we can have joy in the midst of sorrows, how we can have joy when we're sheltering in place from a pandemic. But we can have that joy because we know who our Savior is, and we know who holds the future in His hands. And we obtain the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Our souls are safe in the hands of God, in whom we have trusted. Every one of us, every single one of us are sinners. Every one of us are afflicted by the plague of sin. Every one of us need a Savior. We need a cure for the spiritual death that follows our sin. And thanks be to God, He has provided that cure in His Son, Jesus Christ. And thanks be to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that He endured the suffering on the cross to set us free from the penalty of our sin. And though we do not yet see Him, we love Him. Amen? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity for us to be reminded of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you, Father God, for the gift of your Son. We did not deserve your grace, your mercy. What we deserve is your wrath for our sin. What we deserve is to be separated from you eternally in hell, punished for our sin against you. But God, because of your mercy, because of your grace, because of your love for us, you sent your Son to become the double cure. The cure for our sin and the cure for our spiritual death. So that now all of us who trust in him are set free from the plague of sin, set free from slavery to sin, and set free from the judgment for our sins, because he took that judgment upon himself. And we are born again to a new life in Christ. Father God, this day, help us to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the proof that the cure was effective. And Father God, we pray for those who have not yet trusted in Christ, those who have not yet believed that there is a cure for their sin. Or maybe they don't even know they need a cure for their sin. They're just happy in their sin. Lord, we pray that you would open their eyes to see Jesus for who he is. We pray that you would give them a new heart, Father God, and the faith to believe and trust in the cure that you have provided so that they too might experience eternal life in Christ. Help us this day, Father God, to give you thanks and praise for all you have done to provide salvation for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.